Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, first half, we break down some news. Now, not news as in the news segment, but what's going on in the world with Dan Le Batard and his bosses, and what you can say and what you can't say and what you should say and what you want to say. Also, Logan Paul comes in and gives us an update on boxing and beyond. First, LifeLock. Average U.S. household contains 17 smart devices. Many have vulnerabilities allowing attackers to remotely access them. Internet-connected security cameras account for almost half of those smart devices compromised by hackers. Can you imagine people looking through the lens of your security cameras because they've been hacked into? So many threats in today's connected world. It just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. And the personal information's out there. It's exposed. Somebody could use it and commit identity theft. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft protects with the added power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It's the best. It's LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No, to prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
Rocket Mortgage. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, home is much more than a house. That's why when you find the perfect place for you and your family, getting a mortgage shouldn't be difficult and it shouldn't get in the way. And that's why there's Rocket Mortgage. Their team of mortgage experts, number one goal is to make home buying process a smoother, easier process for you. Quicken Loans help millions of Americans achieve the dream of home ownership. And when you're ready to purchase a home, and it's the home of your dreams, well, then they can help you too. J.D. Power ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 5 years in a row. Not too shabby. Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. Rocket Mortgage. Right, Dawson?
Visit rocketmortgage.com/Adam and take the first step toward the home of your dreams. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Logan Paul, with Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects. And now, his testimony in front of Congress was much funnier than Mueller's. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. So the ratings went up this week, so that's all because of you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Taters gonna tate.
Do we have Logan Paul's bio up in there?
Right here.
Oh, here it comes. Interesting guy. I was watching him do his boxing match on YouTube last night.
Yeah, he takes them pretty seriously.
Got some skills, so we'll talk to him about boxing's YouTube guy. Grew up sort of a hard scrabble, but was a good sports guy, and then took off on YouTube. I don't know, 19 million followers or something like that. We'll get you all that. But I know him from TMZ.
Of course.
And from boxing. So we'll talk to that young upstart in a couple of few. We have, it's hotter in the hubs of hell. Ooh. Out here.
It's warm.
Is it really? I can't, chat, I'm looking at some temps. Chatsworth, that's the temp, huh? The high for today is that temperature.
Yes.
That seems weird. The reason I'm looking at it is hotter than shit. Well, how hot is it in Burbank then, or Glendale?
We couldn't get to give out the temperature on the local radio show, but on the international podcast.
You can't stop talking about it.
It says downtown 97, Chatsworth 101. It doesn't seem like that big a difference. Normally, downtown's 10 degrees cooler, even more. Mm. You know, it's quite a bit, but maybe it's all the weird clouds or something blowing in. Anyway, it's weird Africa hot out there, as they say. I want to hear about the baseball stadium experience. I have a hypothetical hipster. There are no wrong answers on this. It's just a hypothetical dude. It's not even the road trip. It's not Larry Miller. It's just who would you rather spend time with?
Okay.
Or who wouldn't you rather spend time with? Because I thought of this guy. I think I was talking to you last week about a guy you see up on whatever canyon hiking with the weighted vest.
Yeah.
No shirt, but the vest with the weights on it. He makes sure you can see that he has a weighted vest as he's going up Bronson Canyon or wherever you hike up in there. Right. That guy, weighted vest guy.
The bar is low.
Here's a guy you've never thought about before, but I've given it some thought. New breed of tatted, man-bunned, ironic frames, spectacles, woodworking guy with the beard, you know, with the facial hair. Yeah, he's one of Offerman's guys.
Lumbersexual.
He's 27. He thinks it's so cool that he made a wooden salad bowl.
Yeah. Right.
He's doing the same shit everyone's done for a million years, but there's something so cool about the fact that he's working with wood. And every time you happen upon him having a conversation with chicks, he's talking about, you got to get away from your smartphone. You get in that shop. The smell of cedar.
Maybe he takes his stuff to a farmer's market and he's just fine with no customers. He prefers it that way.
You get the feeling. Now, he couldn't build a house. Mm-hmm. He couldn't help you put together a piece of IKEA furniture, but he's doing it for the points and for the sort of cool hipster irony of it.
And he never buys gifts off the registry. He makes you your own stupid salad tongs that you didn't ask for the wedding.
Right, and then explains to you in great detail of how he had to lay up that cedar and laminate it and blah, blah, blah.
Both these guys are show-off guys who really aren't into the thing. They're into you thinking they're into the thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The perception of their thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gina, you go first.
Well, based on what I just said, I hate that guy. I would much rather at least see, even though I'll feel a little bit shamed because I wouldn't be wearing the weighted vest. I always wear a weighted vest 24 hours a day.
Good point.
I don't like that hipster douche. I don't care about his woodworking shop, and I don't want to be friends with him.
Oh, come on!
Seemed like a slam dunk.
I would actually go with the woodworking dude because at least I could get something out of hanging out with him. Like maybe end up with an ashtray.
Good work.
Well, ironically, an ashtray or a salad bowl.
Well, he does good work. It's just he has no application. You can't help you remodel your entry hall. Yeah. He's just can make salad bowls and
another coaster.
Kayaks and things like that. A chessboard.
Another chessboard.
Yeah.
That stuff. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, a cheese platter.
I mean, I like a good tchotchke, but I don't want
I get nothing out of the hiking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got nothing for him.
All right.
I'll go with the working guy.
I'll take the hiking guy.
And by the way, if hiking is not enough for you, find a steeper grade. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just
find something that's a little steeper hill.
Yes. Okay. So you can
skip the
vest.
Walking up the canyon that the middle-aged broads in the yoga pants are walking up, find something steeper.
Yeah.
Scale something.
Do the Santa Monica stairs.
Yeah, go Mount Baldy. Mm-hmm.
All right. Max Pata, what is the temperature in what is the high in Burbank today? Or is there just a misery index that feels that feels insane out there? And Gina Grad, you went and attended
the high's 100 in Burbank.
Yeah. That's it. So it's actually hotter out in the West Valley there. There's something about the misery heat index out here today.
At 9 a.m. getting in my car, it was already
it hurts.
Insanely hot.
Yeah, it sucks.
So at 9 a.m. when you went out to get the bong out of your car and head back into the apartment, it was that hot.
Yeah. I knew I forgot something.
Then at 10:15 when he started his commute, it was even hotter.
Yeah, bong was melting.
It was bubbling.
All right, Gina, we're teasing a baseball story.
Yes.
It's going to bother me because everything is better everywhere but L.A. L.A., it's funny, L.A. is the home of the publicist, and I feel like L.A.'s publicist is better.
Yeah.
Than L.A. is, because you go, you know, as I go to Portland, I go to San Francisco, I go to Denver, even when you go to Salt Lake City, whatever. Everything's cleaner. The people are nicer. The streets are nicer. The actual infrastructure is nicer. Like the public stuff is clean. Stuff kind of works. Stuff look.
You can use the bus.
You can use things. But then there's things like you go to the ballpark and they got real brats or real Kansas City dry rubbed ribs or whatever. It's like, and we got a bunch of Farmer John meat sticks. And why does everything need to be better? I have a theory, but go ahead.
So I was in Minnesota over the weekend, and it was beautiful. It's different because I'm from Kansas, and it's just a different kind of Midwest. Minnesota just is better than everywhere else.
Oh, we have tagged scooters here. That's the newest thing now. All the little zipper razor, all the scooters you rent, they're now being tagged.
Oh, of course they are.
Of course they are, because
they're sitting still.
They're not in a house.
Right.
Yeah, under lock and key.
They're somewhere outdoors, so they have to be graffiti. Yeah. Okay.
So we're walking. We go to Target Field for the Twins game, Twins and the A's. And even just walking through Minneapolis. By the way, parking for the baseball game at this brand new, beautiful, state-of-the-art Target Field, $4.50. We went VIP. It was $15.
Quaint.
It was quaint. There is zero garbage, zero trash. I didn't see any homeless people, zero vandalism. And this is downtown Minneapolis.
Right.
We walk into the, you guys have pictures if you could put them up. Walk into the field. We walk into the stadium and it looks, keep going. It is pristine. It's like you're in heaven. It is beautiful. It's clean. It's just lovely. There is an announcement at the very beginning before the game. That was the big win. Please, no profanity in the stadium. And if you hear profanity, please alert a staff member. The worst thing I heard anyone say was, "You're a bum!" to the ref. You're welcome, Brian. And that was literally the meanest, worst thing you could hear. Kramer Chuck, sausage company, doing all the sausages and brats and everything. I'm not a big sports person, as you know. I don't really need to go see live games of any kind. And this was a delight. We were there for like 5 hours and we had the time of our lives.
There wasn't a Giants fan putting a Dodger fan in a coma in the parking lot.
No broken bottles over anyone's head. Just polite people there to see a game.
The Dodger fan. Yeah.
Brian Stowe. That's right.
You're right. It did go that way.
Got stomped today.
Yeah, that's right. It was polite.
There was another incident, I think, in Dodger Stadium.
More recently.
Somebody else being punched out in the parking lot.
Oh, really?
Again.
Another incident in Dodger Stadium?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're not going to find that in Minnesota, people. It was just lovely.
Yeah. Well, theories. I don't believe that things exist in a bubble. I believe there's bigger, overarching sort of problems, which is, if you take a look at, let's just take LA and let's just make a comparison to just dwellings. If you take a home that people own versus people rent versus subsidized housing, well, the worst is the subsidized housing. The worst is just, here's an apartment you can live in for free. That becomes the projects.
Right.
And that becomes a war zone, right? Then there is you could probably pick the rented, the house on the street that the three college dudes were renting versus the couple that they saved up to buy because the lawn's a little higher and the paint's a little bubblier and on the fascia and whatever. So there's a kind of a home ownership thing that you get, a pride of ownership, and it makes a difference. People, I've said this many times, from LA, people treat LA like a rental car. Nobody who's here is from here. Mm-hmm. Now, you frequently see people just waving the flag of whatever nation they're from in LA, mostly Mexico, but it could be anywhere.
Oh, you'll see the Steelers license plate frames, the Cowboys license plate frames.
Yes, you have people, you have a lot of people from Mexico, a different country, and then you have a lot of people from Chicago, New York, and wherever else. They get here, and they don't quite have the pride of ownership.
Right.
They will wax poetic about their hometown. They don't talk so much about
when the visiting team comes to the town. That's when they turn out in the home colors, not the home colors. You know what I'm saying?
When I'm trying to think about why LA is so trashy, and it seems so just aesthetically screwed up, I realize it's not an ownership kind of thing. If people sort of come here and they, again, transient. They treat it like a rental car. Right. They don't have that same sense that they have from all around the country and all around the world. And look, if you showed me the city that had more people from somewhere else that weren't born and bred there, I would show you a trashier city. I think L.A. just happens to get the most of that. And that's why there is no sense of ownership. And that's why everything seems trashy.
Yeah. It's transient by nature.
Right. Also, the Dodger fans are, I don't know, half Hispanic, and they don't care about hot dogs. They're not like Jews.
No.
They're not like Germans. The hot dog is not part of their world.
No.
Their idea is get a hot dog, wrap it in bacon, sell it out of a shopping cart with a propane tank on it. You're not going to get the good stuff because they don't need it. They don't care. They don't require it. The bar's not set that high. I don't think you get away with the Dodger dog in Chicago or New York City.
Oh, they would riot.
Rejected early on.
Right.
But you get that Kramer Chuck sausage. Woo! It's amazing.
All right. Let's see. We got a question up here about pet peeves. Speaking of pets, I guess a dog, service dog, did bite an American Airlines stewardess and gave her stitches.
How could that happen?
Whenever we talk about these kinds of things,
these are highly trained animals.
Right.
They're certified by doctors.
They're bred for this.
I kind of wonder why it doesn't happen more. I mean, we're hearing stories about kids getting mauled at the airport and stuff, but with this amount of crazy people and this amount of dogs in this confined space, 30,000 feet above the ground, it should happen even more.
You give me an idea. Like, the penalty really for this kind of thing, when the service animal, making air quotes, like nips at like whoever or a kid or a flight attendant, the penalty should be on the doctor who signed the should be the penalty. Like, how many fewer of these instances would happen if the doctor was under penalty of financial, losing a license, blah, 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 for signing the fake, you know, like, why did you sign this? This dog's obviously not trained. Right?
Yeah, no,
You're never going to de-incentivize the crazy people. You can de-incentivize the doctor. They have something to lose. They have practice.
I agree. We don't have extradition to the Canary Islands, though, unfortunately. These guys are probably somewhere in some offshore something just writing letters. Hey, Balls. Oh, Balls. 43 from Pennsylvania. Wait, hold on, Balls. No, this is Brian. I'm going to talk to Brian, then I'll talk to Balls. Brian with a Y, 45 from Florida.
Adam, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Hey, I haven't heard if you've weighed in on the whole Dan Le Batard controversy that's been in the news lately.
I've not heard about it, so I've not weighed in on it. What was the story?
Okay, so you're familiar with Dan, right? I think you've been on his show or show before, but
talk show host, ESPN personality.
Yes. Yeah.
He's one of the top-rated hosts on ESPN Radio.
Right.
And he has a couple shows on the TV side as well. But anyway, he got into a lot of hot water, I guess, a few days ago when he went against ESPN's no politics policy and went on there and pretty much blasted the president and anybody who supports him for the whole send them back controversy that happened in Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I don't necessarily need to hear you weigh in on the political side of it. But
I wonder if Trump ever gets confused, like, lock him up, send her back.
Yeah.
My boss is
sorry. You can't send them back.
Lock her up, send them back.
That's right.
Sorry. Got my 3x5 card flipped over here. Yeah, sorry.
Dan, I guess it just came out in the Washington.
When Bill Clinton hears "lock her up," do you think he has to wrestle with that notion? Like,
fingers crossed.
Now let's look at the upside.
Let's be fair.
Hillary turns around; it's got a hand over. Lock her up. Wow, what?
Who said that?
Sorry. Go ahead. So, yes, Ryan.
But I guess it came out in the Washington Post that Dan is flying to New York, I guess, today or tomorrow to meet with the ESPN president, and I guess Bob Iger. To discuss the show moving forward, I guess the crux of it, Dan was hired to host a sports show, a goofy sports show.
Uh-oh.
Do you think
I know where you're going with this?
Is it right to be able to discuss politics and weigh in on social issues, or if you were Dan, would you just dummy up and take the money and stick to sports?
Well, you don't have to tell me to dummy up. I beat everyone to the dummy bar years ago. I think a personality... all right, hold on a second. My belief is that most platforms, most, unless you're just reading like a stock ticker or something like that, there's certain things, you know, there are jobs like Vanna White or something like, we don't want you chiming in on NAFTA, you know. But most platforms are just an excuse to hear the voice of the person who has the microphone. Right. In every sitcom ever done, you go, I don't know, everyone loves Raymond. That's just to kind of hear Ray Romano's take on life. Now, we have to, it has to live somewhere.
Right.
So we give him a mom and a brother and a wife and everything, but it's really just to get his thoughts
his take.
On life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're talking to a guy who did Loveline and gave my thoughts on everything.
Everything but love.
But love. for quite a bit of time. Now, I get that there's a difference between a morning radio show and a sports radio show, but I think we can all agree that the people we like the most use the platform or the subject of sports, or could be politics when they're talking about sports or women's soccer team winning the championship or World Cup or whatever it be. I think the key for all of it is balance.
Right.
If you never stray into separate subjects other than the thing that your platform is, it feels weird that you're just talking about that. And then how skillful are you at it? And then what are you saying? Like, how good are you at talking about things that are off subject? From, if I do a woodworking show, we talk about wood half the time, and the other half the time I complain about things, or Stromer complains about things. The bottom line is you need an entertaining show.
Yeah.
So I don't like the idea of telling the host what to talk about and what not to talk about. I do get the part where you have a brand, it's ESPN, and you don't want people pontificating on how much they hate LeBron James's politics versus whatever the triple-double he scored the night before. So there's, I would say there's a balance.
Yeah.
And I would say to anybody who worked for me at ESPN, I'd go, we're a sports network, and we want the sports, but the reason you're sitting here is because you also have takes and opinions and things of that nature. And in a world where, sadly, sports look no further than LeBron James or the ladies' soccer team not going to the White House, there's a lot of cross collateralization here.
True.
It's kind of hard to sort it out.
Sometimes
these days.
The story becomes the story. You know,
well, what do you,
or whatever.
When you go on and do your syndicated sports show the day after the soccer star told the president to fuck off, what shall you do?
That's the news. That's the headline.
Right. So I think I would be like, trust your judgment, understand it's sports first and opinion and politics second. But I'll know it when I hear it.
Right.
And by the way, you'll know it when you hear it, because you'll get a bunch of emails and tweets saying it's too much of this and not enough of that.
I think you also have to earn it, too. Like, Dan Le Batard's a well-known dude. He's successful and accomplished. Like, he's earned that right to talk about. Adam Carolla, in year 8 of Loveline, has probably earned that right to talk about things other than love and STDs. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You have to get there.
Brian, what's your, Brian from Florida?
Yes.
What's your take?
My take is, he's being paid millions of dollars. He's on, I don't know, 300 plus stations across the country. Let's say, you know, whatever the percentage is, half the audience is going to be turned off to politics no matter what side he takes on Trump. If he's pro-Trump, against him, half the audience. So his bosses at ESPN, the new president of the network, has made a decision that not just Dan, but anybody that is on ESPN platforms are not to discuss politics.
Well,
so
I
Dan,
yeah, okay. Well, listen,
I'm
there's
take
also
the money and shut up.
There's also an element of, if you do work for somebody and they do pay you, they're allowed
they're
to
the boss, yeah.
call the shots for the most part. I think ESPN maybe got a little politicized over the last few years, and somebody's trying to pull it back in toward the middle because it's tough viewership or listenership or whatever.
Trump fans like sports too.
Yeah,
you know, they're paying customers essentially.
Yeah, I don't think there's a rule. I think the rule is be compelling and entertaining. And if you're going to give a take on Trump for or against, it's got to be a good take.
Yeah.
And then I think your audience will appreciate it, whatever the side of the aisle they're on. All right. Let's see. Balls, we always talk to now from Pennsylvania. Balls.
Hey, Adam. How you doing there?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, not bad. Hey, I just want to ask you and the gang, what is your biggest pet peeves, and did they change a lot from when you were younger to now?
I don't have pet peeves like, oh, I hate it when they give me the too big a spoon to stir my drink with, and I like the smaller spoon, or I don't have those kinds of. I have kind of like emotional pet peeves.
This is your whole act, man. Not the spoons, but like getting pissed off over the little things.
My pet peeve is stupidity when it's unnecessary. My pet peeve is why do we have a blinking yellow left turn arrow by the hospital in Burbank, but we don't have one leaving the airport.
Right.
Why have we not retrofitted that? We retrofitted this one. Why have we done that one? Like, why are we stupid? Why are we acting stupid?
Lazy.
Yeah, and also the people's just sort of inability to... people's inability to control their own life and how much of that they want to push on to other factors, society, family members, neighbors, and everything else. And also, it's not even a pet peeve. I don't even know what you call it, but people's, as I've getting older, insane ability to lie about so many different things, which I just thought was weird. Like, as a kid, I thought kids lied, and then...
adults had everything figured out.
Well, I thought, here's the two groups that lied. Kids and, like, members of the mafia.
Right, people had something to...
But I didn't know outliers. Just regular folk just sort of lied, like, just sort of on a constant
murder
basis.
Suspects.
Yes, I did not know that there would be that, just that much.
Roaming among us.
I thought people would police themselves a little better. Balls?
It is a different time, man. Like, I always thought people were kind of more truthful when I was younger, and now people say something, I have to go outside. If they told me the grass was green, I still have to go outside and look because they lie through the scene.
Well, I think we're living in a... here's what I think. I think we can all agree that it is not lying. I don't care how strict you interpret the Bible or how devout you are in your religion or your faith or your Buddhist or whatever you are. If you were trying to escape Nazi Germany and you were stopped at the Polish border and somebody wanted to see your papers and they started asking questions about your Jewish heritage, you could then lie.
Right.
And say you were Catholic, even if you were Jewish. And I don't think anyone says, well, we don't need that kind of lying. So we've all agreed that, and we've also agreed that, as I learned early on with my grandmother, which always made me laugh, once a year she'd go to a conference in Big Sur. I don't know what it was, but Big Sur... there was a conference for mental health workers or something. She worked for the VA. And it's the only time me and my sister could get out of North Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And we would get in the back of their car. And that was our three-day vacation. Mm-hmm. I go with my grandmother to her mental health conference.
At least it's in Big Sur.
It was in Big Sur. Like, that's our family. That was our vacation. Go with our grandparents to Big Sur and stay in a motel. Fine. There was a very cool restaurant. And it was in Big Sur, and that was always my grandmother, who was like a little bit of a Euro foodie before it was fashionable. We were going to go to the French Laundry, not that.
The equivalent.
But like that in Big Sur. She's going to make reservations. We're going to get the stuffed pork chop or whatever. And my grandmother was – funny because she liked to drink her wine with dinner, but she was also super cheap. And so she'd always bring a bottle of wine.
Sure.
And either they'd charge her a corkage fee or they wouldn't. I don't know. But we left the motel. We started down like Big Sur Highway. And at some point, right in the middle between the restaurant and the hotel, my grandmother went, "Oh, I forgot my bottle of wine." And she like pulled a U-turn and whipped around and started heading back to the motel to get her bottle of wine.
God forbid she get the $18 bottle of wine.
Which was probably $9 in 1974. But anyway, we pulled a U-turn, and lo and behold, there was a cop. The cop saw her. The cop pulled her over, and the cop said to her, I need to see your driver's license. I think this is probably before insurance was required. Mm-hmm. He said, "I need your driver's license." And my grandmother didn't have her driver's license either. I don't know. And she like opened her purse and she's like, "I don't have my driver's license. I had just realized that, and I turned around to go get it.
Wow, that's nice. Good.
And the cop was a little impressed. Like, the cop was like, and I was sitting in the back seat going, "Jesus Christ, look at all the lying going on." Because 2 minutes later, she's like, I forgot the booze. Pull the e-brake. Lotsie.
Well, officer, here's the thing. I really want to drink.
Yeah, so.
Ask the kids.
She literally turned around to get booze, but she said she turned around to get her license. I think the cop let her off with a warning. And I was like, okay, that kind of lying is okay because it gets you out of a chicken shit ticket. And lying about your papers at the Polish border is okay. But I didn't know there'd just be lying outside of that.
Rampant.
And for no reason most of the time.
No. Yeah. Not even really bragging lying. More threat lies. Like, this person came in and assaulted me. And he put his hand on your shoulder. Like, he attacked me. Like, the weird. I thought there'd be lies. Like, I beat up these three guys, you know. But it was one guy.
Wasn't it for you?
He was in a wheelchair. Right. All right. Let's see. We got Logan Paul coming up. He's got something coming up. Oh, interesting. I'll tell you about him in a second. So, Gina.
Yes.
Ballpark clean, people nice.
It was heaven. It was unbelievable. The people, lots of families, a lot of high-fiving with dads and sons. And it was beautiful. Just a couple of those puffy Simpsons clouds. A great game. The Twins won.
I was going to say, do you pay attention to the game when you go to these things?
Well, yeah, because we were sitting right on third base.
Yeah, you know what else we have? I realized the problem with L.A., and a lot of the folks in charge here is that stuff's for the bourgeoisie, you know, that's for the regular folk. Mm. Like, we look down our nose, like, we're innovatives here, innovators. We do things differently. Like, all those commercials that show what California does.
Separates us from the pack.
It's not a family sitting around.
Right.
We do cool things. Right. We have different kinds of, we're reinventing the notion of family and going out. Right.
And turns out, when you go back to basics, it is unbelievably breathtaking.
The basics, well, they're the basics, they're comfort food as a family. Like, they're the basics for a reason. Yeah. It's nice. It works. We don't like it here because we don't like that construct. We're like, well, what about two dads or three moms and a daughter that's transitioning? Isn't that progressive? And it's like, it's different. But different isn't always better, and progressive isn't always better. This notion of like, well, this is what's next. I don't know. It's hard to beat the family unit watching the ball game and not cussing.
And so many high fives between dads and sons. Oh, God, every time a base was stolen.
That's just me. All right, let me hit ZipRecruiter. Our guest is here. Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, confusing review process. Today's hiring is easy now. You just go to one place, ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. Plus, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, and they spotlight top candidates so you never miss a great match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates within the first day. That's right, within the first day. That's why it's world class. It's ZipRecruiter, right, Dawson?
Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ADAM. ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, YouTube star and podcaster and pugilist Logan Paul is coming in studio right after this.
Adam Carolla is unprepared this weekend at the Canyon in Montclair, Pasadena, and Agoura Hills.
This is a fun one. Delusional.
Delusional. I do feel like that's something that's going around more and more these days. Maybe it started with pets. In the past, animals were pretty much either beasts of burden or we ate them. Either you got to pull my fat ass up this canyon side or I'm going to eat you. Or both. When you run out of gas dragging my fat ass up the side of this hill, then I'll eat you.
Friday in Montclair, Saturday in Pasadena, and Sunday in Agoura Hills. Adam Carolla is unprepared this weekend at the Canyon. Saturday and Sunday with Adam Ray. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew! On the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Mims, Florida. A 55-year-old man was charged with masturbating in a Dollar General store. Definitely not a Jew.
Logan Paul is in studio. He's 24. He's a very famous YouTuber and podcaster. There's an event coming up. It's the Challenge Games. It is this coming Saturday, July 27th. It's in Long Beach. It's at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Long Beach City College. And it'll be streaming on YouTube. And it's a track and field event with famous YouTubers and entertainers. I watched Logan fight a very game fight against KSI, who's a how would you describe KSI, Logan?
I think the best way to describe KSI is like he's just like a kind of just a loser.
Succinct.
But another YouTube guy's figured out a way. Logan's got 19.6 million subscribers and billions of total views. So capturing that audience, unbelievable. We'll talk boxing because I know you're into boxing. I used to be a boxing trainer, so we can take a deep dive into that. But how did you get started? You're from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
How did this begin? And also, we have a funny video with your brother.
Oh, no, please.
No, this is...
Is it funny or is it cringe? Because a lot of my old stuff is cringe. Which one are you going to...
This
which
is
one
your
talking
brother,
about?
I think, and my so
probably
son.
Cringe.
This
probably
is my
cringe.
Son... Seeing your brother.
Oh.
Sorry, what's your brother's name?
It's delightful.
His name is Jake. Oh, wow, what's happening?
Yeah. He's at, like, I don't know, Golf World, or I don't know where the hell he's at.
Okay. Andy from a baby, I'm telling you.
So, Jenna.
Excuse me? Are you Jake Paul?
Why are you asking?
He just saw you on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm Jake Paul. Is that your mom?
Oh, no, that's her nanny.
That's your nanny?
Yeah.
That's your son?
I never had a nanny growing
up. That's my son.
Whoa.
My son walked up to your brother.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Worlds collide.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, congrats on the son.
Later on, he did the exact same thing with Ron Jeremy. Yeah. And I was like, what? I was like, I've seen your computer.
Yeah, you should be worried.
So you start off, tell me about high school, and let's follow how this works. You grew up in Ohio.
Yeah, I grew up in
Ohio. Jock in high school.
Jock, but also a scholar. Like, I was a scholar athlete. That was my title. I'm a nerd. Like, I'm a big geek. I graduated high school with a 4.7 GPA. I got a 33 on the ACT, full academic ride to college.
Like you, Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, for real? You got it?
No.
I picked up garbage on a construction site.
Oh.
Very different. Sorry, you were saying.
No, okay. I don't know. And so I've always loved learning and doing my best at whatever I do. So in high school, it happened to be sports and academics. And so in the meantime, I was making videos online, and they ended up taking off when I was about 18. But I've been creating since I was 10. So like, I had gotten the formula down by the time Vine came out, which is where I exploded.
What's the next evolution then? If you've been creating since you were 10, where do we go from here, or where do you see yourself in your 30s?
That's a great question. Adam, I don't know. I don't know. I do so many things. I'm really versatile. I just hope whatever I'm doing is going to be doing something that I love, something that makes me happy. That's what I try to do.
Is it the way to monetize it? Is it, do you have subscription? Do you have advertisement? Is there some of each?
There's so many different ways to monetize. The general rule of thumb is if you have an audience, you should be monetizing them. And musician Russ, he said, if you have more followers than you have money, you're doing something wrong. And I agree with that. Like, if you have an audience, you should be able to capitalize on them if you're doing your job right. And you know, I am a geek. I am a nerd. I am a business centric, smart, calculated guy. I love marketing. And so, me personally, to answer your question, I started a clothing line called Maverick by Logan Paul, and that was the big jump for me. That's how I made most of my money. But you know, there's sponsors, there's brand deals, there's AdSense on YouTube itself. There's a lot of different ways. Hey, how you doing over there?
How's it going, man?
I don't know.
I'm
all
learning
right.
A lot here.
Really?
Yeah.
Already?
I don't know a lot about this stuff. This
You're
is
learning?
Fascinating.
All right.
Well, you know, I'm old, so I grew up. And there was only one way of doing things, and that was pretty much sell a ticket to a movie or have a TV show and sell advertisements. That was pretty much, those are the two sort of entertainment ways of doing it. You could do live performance and do it that way.
Sounds horrible. I'll tell you why, because if you have to rely on advertisers, to me, like, that's... That sounds like slavery to me. That, like, literally, that sounds like I'm being trapped in a hole where I have to succumb to someone because they're paying me money. That sounds, that's horrible. That sounds like torture to me.
Hold on a second. I got to make some notes. Those detention centers at the border,
right. Yeah.
Those are Holocaust. No. Those are crematoriums. Right. That's right. Auschwitz. Yeah. And doing live spots, that's slavery.
Full on slavery.
Yeah, we're living in
time. Don't twist my words like that. I'm saying if you have to change who you are and how you act to be someone who you're not online because you're worried about being paid by a brand or a sponsor.
We just got into that, actually, because we're just talking about Dan Lebatard and not talking politics on ESPN. And it's a world where we're sort of split. There are people that are online saying whatever they want, and then there are people that work for ABC News and have watch their language a little bit and toe the line. But you got into boxing. I got into boxing early, and you threw yourself into this.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
And the fight you had with KSI was no joke. It was 6 3-minute rounds. It was not normally they do like 1-minute rounds or 2-minute rounds. 3-minute rounds is a regular length round.
Legit.
It's a long round, and normally they go like 3 2-minute rounds or something, but 6 3-minute rounds is that's a long fight.
It was legit. It was a legit fight. Yeah, I spent 5 months of the year training every single day for it. When I do something, I want to be the best at it, like I said. So I threw myself into boxing because I wanted to win. And unfortunately, it was a draw, so we do have a rematch coming up later this year. And I've still been training almost every day for it.
And you built a ring, right?
In my backyard. Yeah, I built a ring in my backyard. So we host fights out there. We practice out there. We do all this stuff.
I'd like to train you for a couple of days.
So I heard this. They prepped me and said you're big into boxing. You used to be a boxing trainer. You used to box yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely intrigued. The there's one problem that might be a problem, and you tell me. Mm-hmm. We fight with our hands down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that style. I fight with my hands down.
Well, I was watching the tape, and there's telltale signs of amateur boxers. First off, there are many great guys who fought with their hands down, but fighting with your hands down means you're either really good or really bad. There's not a lot of middle ground. So Logan keeps his right hand up and keeps his left hand low because he wants to get off his jab. It's sort of hard.
Oh, shit.
It's hard to get the jab off. You got to go round one. We're looking at. So let's talk about the good things. The jab is a punch. It's hard to get off your jab if it's sort of tucked in tight. If it's hanging down loose, it's easier to snap it out there. So Logan's got a good jab.
Thanks.
Most guys who pick up the sport later in life don't have a good jab. Logan's got a good jab. Logan also does something with his jab which you don't see rookies do, we'll just call it, guys who are new to the sport, is he goes downstairs with the jab. He goes upstairs and then he goes to the midsection with the jab, which is a good way to do it. So I wouldn't really tell you got to get your left up, even though it's a little more orthodox or a little more limp. There he went to the gut. All right, you can stop it. The point is his jab is good. He gets his jab off. He keeps his right up, which is good. The guy he was fighting throws the roundhouse stuff. His stuff comes wide,
yeah,
not down the pike. Coming straight down the pike, if you watch the Klitschko's, that's just a better way to connect.
For sure.
A straight line. The problem is the guys who throw wide, if your head movement isn't great and that you get caught, yeah, you get caught. Yep. Logan got caught. Logan had a bloody nose, a bloody lip. I mean, Logan got beat up a little bit.
That was actually my brother. I was fine.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was your...
Yeah, he fought right before me.
Well, you got a bloody nose.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Wait a minute. Mm-mm. Didn't I see you after the fight with blood and a nose?
Look, he's pristine.
No, I've never bled. I don't know what my own blood looks like.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet it's red.
Probably.
You're an American, aren't you?
Red, white, and blue, baby.
What I saw in the later rounds. Like, nah, you had a bloody nose. Nah, well, who'd your brother fight?
That guy's brother.
Oh, really?
How crazy is that, by the way? That's nuts. Yeah, brothers fought brothers.
That's weird.
Okay. Oh, there he is.
That was.
I didn't say. Yeah, your brother did get bloodied up, but I thought you got bloodied up too. Well, anyway, you took some good shots. Very good shots.
I mean, sort
you
of.
You were game.
I mean, what?
Very game.
I mean, sort of. I don't know. The kid doesn't hit hard. It's not like you just said it. His technique isn't great.
He is wild and wide.
I got tired. I got way tired. Third round, legit, thought I was going to die. Death.
Yes.
Not fatigue. Death.
Yes.
You hear what I'm saying? So maybe you can help me with that. And I think I had to do something with nerves.
I'll tell you what it is. It's nerves. And it's not... Yes, it's nerves. The thing... Here's the deal. If you watch guys like Roberto Duran toward the end of his career... That guy's walking around with a spare tire around his belly. He doesn't have a vein in his arm. I mean, that guy looks, if you asked what he did, you'd think he had an office job. Like, that's what he looks like with his shirt off. But he's so goddamn relaxed. He's not burning the calories. There's a mental thing where you're tensed up and you're going off. There's a thing of like, you see great hitters in baseball, they're not hanging on, they're not torquing on the bat. They're just super loose, and then they can get off.
Yeah.
You can't talk you out of it because it's a fight.
I know.
And there's so much adrenaline, and the adrenaline dump just kills you. See guys like James Lights Out Tony, those guys would be in their like 75th fight. Guys like standing there, like he literally smoking a cigar, like in between rounds, like his heart's barely beating because he's not moving that much. It's all, oh my God, it's the feeling of, I used to tell my students, I would say, you just got pushed off the back of a cruise ship at night and we're 3 miles from shore. Mm. And if you start freaking out, you drown. We got one chance at the shore. It's super smooth. Mm-hmm. Get your breathing down. I know you're freaked out because you just fell out of the back of us. Now you got to collect yourself and real easy and focus. Good technique. We'll get to the shore. You freak, you drown.
It might be one of those things, as shitty as this is, it might be one of those things where... great analogy, but also until you've boxed for 1 or 2 years, you have no idea. You can't just calm yourself down.
No, you can't.
Fight,
you
right?
can't.
Like, experience is the only way to learn that.
That's right. That's why James Toney and Roberto Duran just stand there. You're in much better physical shape than Roberto Duran and James Toney.
It's ridiculous.
You could outrun them, and you could outlift them, and any endurance endeavor, you'd kick the shit out of them. But when they get into the ring... That's Roberto Duran at the end with a spare tire. Yeah.
Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury does a good job of this. It'll be round 12 and Tyson Fury is moving around like it's round one. Like, Andy Ruiz Jr. Like, I can't.
Yes, we're
I
looking
can't
at James Toney looking a little thick.
A little soft.
Right. So, how do we do the part where, and you're right, you can't just tell somebody, hey, relax.
Yeah. Mm.
You're in a packed arena. People are going nuts.
Yeah.
Your adrenaline is through the roof. And that maybe is with a sports psychologist.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever tried that?
Oh. like visualizing type?
Well, think about, let's look at it this way. You're physically in more than good enough shape to go six rounds.
Yeah, we did it in practice over and over and over and over again. I would run 4 miles at a time at like a 5 minute 30 pace, which is ridiculous.
Right.
Which is crazy. I had never been in that good a shape in my life. Round three starts and I can't breathe.
Right.
And it's round three. I have three more to go.
Right.
It was terrifying.
Right.
And so, I'm a big guy. Lactic acid running through these veins like no other.
We're not going to fix that by harder training because we've already figured out you're training hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
You're enough physically trained. That's like sports psychology now.
I like where your head's at.
Now we got to.
Yep.
I like where your head's going to be.
Moving, diving, dipping, dodging.
That's where
weaving.
You start talking about the relaxation right. drills and the breathing.
Absolutely.
And all the stuff in between rounds, because there's no use doing more push-ups or more road work. You've already done enough to do those rounds.
What we have to do, you and I, Adam, we got to go somewhere and put me in a high-intensity, high-pressure environment.
Right.
Where
mm-hmm.
are you going to take me and what's the circumstance?
Mm. I am going to come to your backyard. You got a ring back there?
Yes, I do.
And I'm going to work with you, and I'm going to show you techniques that will not tire you out.
Okay. I thought you were going to drop me in the Arctic Ocean.
Yeah, he's going to boot you off the back of a cruise ship.
Like, that sounds about right.
No.
Oh, yeah, we can do it in
Encino.
Get on this cruise
ship. That's fine.
Encino's good.
I'll hook you up with a sports psychologist, and we'll work on those
things.
That'd
be awesome.
But also, the techniques.
Okay.
That's the economy of punches, the economy of movement, the looseness of the punches.
Yep.
That'll make a huge difference.
Gotcha.
Huge difference.
I'm sure.
So you looked great in the first three rounds. And then he ran out of gas, and it was still a very good fight.
The
rematch is coming up.
I think hopefully the end of this year. It takes a while, to secure a very, very large bag, which we're trying to do. And also, he's in the UK. We're in the United States, and it's a little harder to host a fight over here than it is the UK. It's a lot of rules with the, the association or...
the sanctioning board.
Whatever they're called. They're strict over here.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was some talk about you fighting Bagel Boy or whatever.
Yo, what is this? I just saw this on the way over here. Have you seen Bagel Guy?
Yeah.
I have. He's 5 foot nothing. You can't fight him.
No,
That's stupid.
I saw it and I got excited. I was like, oh, cool, a fight. And then I saw him training and I'm like, I would kill him. I don't want to do that.
Yes.
But I respect. I saw that video. You know the video we're talking about, right?
We do,
Bagel
Guy.
You're not my boss or my father or God.
Come at me, and then someone takes
him down. I got mad respect for him. Like, he'll never win a fight, and I can confidently say that, but I got mad respect. Big balls on that guy.
I can't tell what's performance art now, though. I don't know who's doing what and why.
He's really...
What the fuck? Oh, my God. I love watching people first learning how to box. Like, when I look back at my videos where I was first learning how to box, they're so bad. Oh, my God. I got to respect it, though.
Oh, he is bad.
He has to get on his tiptoes.
Who's he fighting?
If you mean he's bad, like, he's a bad man. Like, he'd hurt someone.
They're looking at...
He'd hurt a 12-year-old, no problem.
He's fighting insecurity.
Yeah. They're looking at the hide your kids, hide your wife guy for him. Antoine Dodson, I believe.
He's wearing a Sierra Nevada t-shirt, so I'm already on his corner.
Oh, there we go. Dang, mad respect.
Yeah.
Good job, Bagel Guy. I will not fight you. You're a beast, and I'm scared.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to a day of training in your backyard.
I'm down.
I think we can work some things out. I'll hit Geico. Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, let's not make this be one of those things where we say it on like media and don't do it. Like, we should actually do it, you know?
Well, I love doing it. Like, I used to do it for a living, and I enjoy it, and I was always good with the technique, and you're already strong and you have good speed and everything. You got all the tools.
Thank you.
A couple little tweaks
I'll
give you, and I think you'll benefit from those.
Very cool.
Let me hit Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. Spend about 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you'll do all day. That is Geico.
Geico.com. All right.
Well, well, real quick, I also have a podcast. Geico, if you want to sponsor me, I mean, we're the number one podcast in the world, so just hit me up. You can have impulsivepodcast@gmail.com. What were you saying?
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Logan Paul right after this.